Let's open with hymn number 5. Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us the forgiveness of sins. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Thank you. and with thy Spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we beseech thee so to guide and direct us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not exalt ourselves, but humbly fear thee with our whole hearts, hear and keep thy word, and hallow the Lord's day, that we may be hallowed by thy word. Help us first to place our hope and confidence in thy Son, Jesus Christ, who alone is our righteousness and Redeemer. And then, so to amend and better our lives in accordance with thy word, that we may avoid all offenses, and finally obtain eternal salvation through thy grace in Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Testament lesson is found in the 25th chapter of Proverbs, the 6th through the 13th verse. Put not thyself forth in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it should be said unto thee, Come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, the 1st through the 6th verse. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Here ends the epistle. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Hallelujah. In the 14th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 11th verse. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him, which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And he answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and shall not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? They could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable, to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief places, saying to them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, do not sit down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when thou art bidden, go and sit in the lowest place, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, come up higher. And then shalt thou have worship in the presence of him that sitteth at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here ends the gospel. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn number 381.
I know I made him. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 6th chapter of Hosea, the 1st through the 6th verse. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the 3rd day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Let his goings forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And your judgments are like light going forth. For I desire mercy, and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Let us humbly hear them at thy feet. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, without exception, Christians are humble people. Because if they were not, then they would not be Christians. Only the humble confess their sins. Only the humble acknowledge that God is just to condemn them. Only the humble believe that God is merciful and will hear their prayer and forgive their sins even though they are unworthy of his love. Only the humble look to Jesus and not to themselves for help and salvation. And yet, such humility is impossible. It cannot be acquired by any amount of effort or resolve. How then is anyone saved? Because what man could not do, God has done for them. He has torn them down and afflicted them. And in Jesus Christ, he has built them up and healed them. He has brought them down to death. And he has raised them again on the 3rd day. And how is it that Jesus heals them? By an equally impossible humility, the humiliation of God himself. Sometimes Christians forget this. We do not always look humble or act humble. Often we boast. Often we are stubborn. Often we are proud. And so it is often that we need to be reminded how we became a Christian. And what it is that keeps us in this faith. We need to be reminded of the words of the beloved Apostle Peter, that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It was not by some great work of righteousness that we had done, but according to the mercy of God that he saved us. By the regenerating power of baptism and the new birth of his Holy Spirit. These we simply received. We received them in humility because we had nothing which we could offer to God for them. So it is that Jesus ends our gospel lesson, whoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. What do these words mean? Very simply, they mean remember your true worth. Ask yourself, what place do I deserve in the kingdom of God? And when you answer in truth and know that you deserve only death, lay down in the lowest place at the feet of Jesus and believe that he loves you and will forgive you your sins. And then he will exalt you, and you will not have to worry that someone else will come along and put you down. For God himself has given you a place of honor, not because you were worthy, but because he loves you. nobody thinks that they deserve the best place. The essential dogma of modern advertising was summarized in a cosmetic ad by the actress Sybil Shepherd in the 80s. You're worth it. That's something that people love to hear. I deserve this. I deserve a good house and car. I deserve VIP treatment wherever I go. I deserve the best of everything. And this is not only the foundation of modern advertising, but of modern psychology as well. Because their central tenet is self-esteem. Me first. My needs before everybody else. I am the most important person I know. Just ask me. I love myself above all others. But is this true? Are you more important? Why do people believe this about themselves? Because they do not want to believe the opposite, that we deserve nothing good, but only evil. To say, as the scriptures do, all our righteousnesses are as menstrual cloths, is simply incompatible with the predominant philosophy of our world, and especially of our nation, which despises authority and declares that every individual is a sovereign king unto himself. But let's not blame this on society, or on the nation, or on government, or on one's choice of religion, for the true blame lies not outside of man, but within his own heart, where pride reigns supreme from birth till death. The scriptures teach that every man does what is right in his own eyes, for his own benefit, even when he does good and is kind to his neighbor. Christians are no different. We also are born into this world from sinful parents like everybody else. Pride reigns in our heart by nature. To be humble, that is unnatural. Truly, to be humble is impossible. Today, the dominant political doctrine of liberalism holds that the way to make men better is to give them things, to provide education and health care and housing and food. But what has been the result? Wherever this is tried, crime increases and people cheat and grow lazy, and they work little or not at all. When men get everything that they need, they do not become humble. Rather than acknowledging the government and the taxpayers who provide for them, they feel entitled to these good things and they demand more. They are as proud as they were before. Well then, let man work and earn his way in the world. But this also will not make him humble. For after he has done all things for himself, then he will boast, look at the house that I have built, the income that I have learned, the family that I have raised. He boasts in his accomplishments. He believes he has earned and deserves all that he has in life. On the contrary, Jesus told his disciples in Luke 17:10, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, for we have done only what was our duty to do. Even if you were to obey God in all things, which is surely impossible, still you would only have done your duty and would gain nothing for it before God, and would have nothing in which you could boast. And yet, we still boast even when we have kept hardly the smallest part of a single commandment. Well, neither of the two opposite worldviews of socialism or capitalism lead to humility. Both make men proud. How then can any man be humble? What about religion? Look at the religions in the world and what will you find? You will find irony. Because even those that urge great humility do so because they praise humility as a great and meritorious work. In other words, even the most humble of the religions in the world, which teach you to value poverty and self-denial, teach you to boast to God of your humility. Like the man who declares, look at me, I'm the most humble person I know. With works of humility, they are exalting themselves in the presence of the King of Kings. And they are no different than the Pharisee who prayed, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men. Well, as men define religion, the Christian faith is not a religion at all. It is not a series of steps and rules and beliefs that you must follow to go to heaven. If that were the Christian faith, then it would be nothing other than a bunch of works that we offer to God. No different than the religions of the world. If Christianity were a religion of man serving God, then no Christian could be humble, for such humility is impossible. The Jewish faith was also not such a religion, but the Jews turned it into one anyway. God did not ordain sacrifices so that people could do these works and earn their way to heaven, but so that they could repent of their sins and look to faith in Christ and receive from God the forgiveness of sins. The sacrifices were not about what Israel offered to God, but what God was offering to Israel in Christ Jesus. They were about God's mercy, not man's works. For every sacrifice was to recall how God mercifully delivered them from death and caused death to pass over them, by his own hand delivered them. But the Jews turned them into works. And likewise, people confuse Christianity with such religion because they see that we have a liturgy and we offer up prayers and we do the same things or similar things every Sunday or go to confession and have ritual sacraments. That, they say, is religion. But they are wrong. For they do not realize that we come here not to give, but to receive. If our prayers, liturgy, rituals, hymns, confessions and sacraments were truly something that we offered to God to gain entrance into heaven, then we would be guilty of the same thing for which God chastises Israel when he says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Our hymns and offerings do not gain us entrance into heaven. God does not want such things from us. God desires mercy. He desires to be merciful. There is only one thing that we can truly offer God, and even that has no worth: our broken heart. He loves our broken heart. He loves a broken heart because he can heal it, cleanse it, and make it new. Everything else which we offer by faith because we are already in his kingdom. We are already in heaven, even here on earth. And these are our sacrifices of joy and thanksgiving in acknowledgement for what God has given us. Therefore, it is not some religious service we do for God when we worship him in church. We come to him with our broken and worthless hearts so that he can make them whole. That is humility. It is impossible, but it is true. For what we could not do, God has done by the most impossible humility of all, the humility of Jesus. How does one acquire a broken heart? He doesn't acquire it. Somebody has to break it. God must break our heart of stone so that he can heal it and give to us a heart of flesh. A man cannot make his heart new any more than a man can give himself a heart transplant. What no man can do, God has done. And how has he done this? First, he afflicts us and makes us sick, and then he binds up our wounds and heals us. Isaiah 54:7 writes, "For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee." And so his affliction is a gift. Underneath it is his mercy. For thereby he opens our heart to desire his help, to believe his word, and to trust in his mercy. And therefore in Jesus, and especially in his wounds, God reveals unto us true humility. For by those very wounds he makes us humble. By faith in those wounds, even the pride that still dwells in our heart and taints our humility is not counted against us, but against Christ, who bore all our sins, something that man must surely count as impossible, that our pride was laid on Jesus, and his humility became ours. Only Jesus had the right to boast in himself, and he did. He boasted in his righteousness, in his unity with the Father in heaven, and in his authority and power over all things. But this one man who had the right to do all things to please himself, and if he had done so, none could possibly fault him. Instead, he chose to do the impossible, to remain fully the eternal Almighty God, and yet to humble himself and make himself the lowliest of men. The only truly sovereign king made himself the servant of all. The only perfect man made himself guilty of all the sins of the world. The only one who deserved all the glory of heaven and the highest seat instead chose the humiliation of the cross and the lowest place in the tomb. And what was the reaction of the people among whom Jesus lived to do all these things? In spite of the fact that he died to redeem them and all the world, they stubbornly resisted him. They persecuted those who believed on him. They despised his humility. It was offensive to them. They lifted themselves up in pride against it. They followed the pattern of their fathers. And they do the same today, along with all the world, and set themselves against Jesus and conspire to overthrow his reign over all things. And so you see, the pride of the human heart knows no bounds. It truly does seek to overthrow the throne of God himself. Thus God says in exasperation, "O Ephraim, that is the northern kingdom, what shall I do to you? O Judah, the southern kingdom, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away." I ask again, how can any man be humble and thus enter into eternal life, when this is the way he naturally acts against the humility and mercy of God? God must strike him down and afflict him and bring him to the point of despair, so that his trust in himself or in anything in this world is broken. He has to break that, so that when man looks at his own life and works, he finds them to be just as they are, worthless to God and unfit and deserving only of death. So God afflicted the children of Israel throughout their generations, and so he afflicts us today. He said of Israel and Judah, "Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets, and I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And your judgments are like light that goes forth." God breaks and hews us down like a soldier attacking an enemy. Only the sword which God uses is the word of his law. He kills us with the words of his mouth, so that no matter where we turn, whatever we think we might offer, and however we might try to please him, we find nothing but death in our works. And when God has done so, in Jesus he brings the tender and comforting rain, the former and the latter rain of his mercy. Here is where our humility is made perfect, in the humility of Jesus. After 2 days, he revived from death. On the third day, he was raised up. By baptism, we were buried with him and raised with him, that we might live in eternal righteousness in the presence of the Lord. All our sins and all our pride, the imperfections in all the works that we do, stayed in the tomb. And we have arisen with new life. Here is how the impossible humility of Jesus is given to us. so that we might be fit for the kingdom of heaven. Come then, dear Christians, let us know. Let us pursue this knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, with thy comfort. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, receive our gifts which we offer unto thee in thanksgiving for thy gospel, and make them fruitful for the work of thy kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. O God and Father, loving creator of all things in heaven and earth, who rules and sustains them all, and who grants death or life according to thy holy judgments, we bow in prayer before thee and offer unto thee our common supplication. Give us, for the sake of thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, pardon for all our sins, and deliver us from the just reward of our transgressions. Rescue us in every temptation, whether it proceed from the world, the flesh, or the devil. And since we cannot by our own reason or strength walk worthily of our calling, nor bear the name of Christ in honor, nor obey thy commandments faithfully, pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us, so that we may more and more be conformed to thy will. Grant unto us the spirit of meekness, humility, and patience. Help us by thy grace to bear in love with one another's faults and infirmities, to serve one another in charity and kindness, and to bless those who may seek to harm us. Look in mercy upon thy church, O God, and grant that it may keep the unity of faith and doctrine which thou dost give, and for which our Lord prayed. To this end, grant that thy church in every place may yield to thy word in repentance for sin, in the hope of the gospel, and in knowledge of every doctrine. May thy church faithfully show forth this one true faith throughout all the world, that men in every place may come to the knowledge and faith of our only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless our nation, that throughout the length and breadth of the land, its people may worship and serve thee in spirit and in truth, and grant it thy counsel and aid, that it may be preserved in peace. Guard and protect our families, and enable all parents to give wise reproof, spiritual admonition, and a wholesome example to their children, that in obedience to words fitly spoken, they may be edified and strengthened for usefulness and service to thee and to all their fellow men. Work thy healing power upon the sick and all the afflicted. Hear their cry and remember them in thy mercy, upholding them by the comforting power of thy Spirit. Show thyself to them a very present help and Savior, and increase their trust in thee through the love of thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whose glorious name we offer these and all other worthy petitions which thou seest in our heart. Amen. We sing hymn number 373.
Grace, 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 grace.
Lord be with you. Lift up your voice. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, deliver us from evil. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all. all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn number 54. Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.